Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We're continuing our series, You Don't Have to Sin. You don't have to sin. You can always be obedient. You know, when you hear that again, it just still sounds shocking. Like, really? I've been saying it now for several months now, but one of the brothers heard it on Wednesday at last week, and it kind of threw him a little bit, you know, like, man, I guess we don't have to sin. You got to actually think about that, because what it does, it removes our little false barrier of an excuse or justify our sinning. Well, you know, it's kind of just happening to me, as if we're passive in this, and it's happening to me rather than active. No, I'm sinning. And it's a deliberate choice, it's a deliberate thinking, and deliberate action. But we don't have to sin. That's why we're going through this slow motion in Romans chapter 6. Let's go there now, Romans chapter 6. Glory be to God. Romans chapter 6.
Oh, glory.
Amen. Amen. Verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 10. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You know what? If you're able, let's stand again and let's read these 10 verses, please. Romans chapter 6, verses 1. Let's read it together. Thank you, Lord God. Verses 1 through 10. If you're able, I understand. We're standing a while already. No pressure if you're not able. Romans chapter 6. Verses 1 through 10, and we're reading it from the ESV. Somebody say something? Okay, you good, Beck? 1 through 10. 1 through 10. All right, 3, 2, 1, and read. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism through death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, hallelujah, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a glory be to God. Verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Hallelujah. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Hallelujah. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Let the church say amen, amen, and amen. And you may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Woo-wee. We're going to have more of a truncated service today. And the Lord is moving us to do something afterwards. So we're probably going to just do some slow motion review. We can't, hear it enough. So we're just going to kind of take our time to review these truths again. Amen. I'm sorry. Okay, that's a sleep screen. I'm not sure what's going on. Okay, well, if you got your notes, if you have your notes, open those up, if you will. Oh, I know what's going on. Thank you, Lord. And from last Sunday. Thank you. Okay. Let's just go back to newness of life. Let's go back there. We've been raised to walk in newness of life. That's the whole point of the resurrection. It's not some sort of, as we mentioned before, something that happened 2,000 years ago, which it did. It is a fact. It is history, but that's not all it is. Because all of that is the natural aspect of it. There's a spiritual side to it. Glory be to God. And the spiritual side, thank you, Lord God Almighty, is that when he was raised for our justification, so we may walk in newness of life. How many are glad that if you're born again, that we're walking in newness of life? Yes. Now, how many know that the old man creeps up? Yes. The old man still creeps up. Yes, we have to keep him at bay and fight him. Fight the good fight of faith. Agonizomai, struggle, strenuous zeal, and effort to keep that fool calm down. But if we're born again, we've been raised to walk in newness of life, a new quality and excellence of life.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Valuable, full of worth, new traits, a new condition of life and character. Thank God.
Yes, Lord.
I'm not bound by my old self.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That dude was crucified with Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You don't have to sin. I don't have to. Newness of life means I can be obedient. Why? Because not only is it quality and so forth, but I love that there's a new source of ethical and spiritual energy that's been imparted to us. Yes, thank you, Lord. We got power. Man, I'll tell you, boy, in them apostolic churches, I don't know if you heard of, probably, if you've been in apostolic, if you heard of Bishop John Hancock, he was like, in the 60s, that's who church I was going to, Bethlehem Temple down on Linwood Street. And they would, when they could talk about power, they would rear back, power to walk right, power to talk right. You know, that it was power. We sitting there eating on fried chicken. We don't know what they talking about. I'm 3 years old. But boy, I can hear that right now.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
That's why I'm so glad that because they, Mr. Voss is bringing children out. Becky got her children. Let them hear it. We 3 years old, 4 weeks, but I remember Bishop preaching on power to walk, walk right. Power to live right. And that's why the Lord moved on Alfred Fellow Horton Jr. Like, man, that's not right. I may not know fully what all going on, but I know that that's not right. That you get saved and show no signs of salvation, of regeneration, of conversion, of transformation. Faith without works is dead. And let me clarify that. It's not faith that works, rather, to be saved. It's faith once you are saved. The proof is in the works. Meaning you ought to live a newness of life. You ought to be walking in the energy of this new source of power that's been imparted to us by God. And when we're not walking in that, that's a problem. But it's not any fault of a power outage or power shortage on God's part. We shouldn't be told not to use the power. I go back to the simple parable, if you will, of nail, hammer, blueprints, everything. And so you take the nail up, use the wood, put the nail in there, and then you decide to use your hand to hammer the wood, nail into the wood. Tearing your hand up, hammer laying right there. You try to use your hand to do that. The power is there. The tools are there. Everything is there. But we must choose. That's what sin is, a choice. We must choose to grab the hammer instead of using our hand and nail that in there. We've been provided everything we need. When God imparted, we became a believer, when he rose from the dead, what was imparted to us when we walked by faith in that is an energy, a spiritual energy that we did not possess when we were sinners. And it's a shame that we don't use that power. We were raised to walk in newness of life. This is the purpose of the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I like that. And we've been enabled to do what? To walk into a life that is righteous and holy. And in a state of being different, newness, different. When you get something new, even in the natural, you have something different that you didn't have before. Are we distinctly different in our living? Distinctly different. Everybody on your job, everybody in your home, everybody in your family, everybody in the neighborhood, everybody everywhere that you come in contact with ought to know without any qualms, trepidation, hesitation, reticence, or any of that, that for sure that person is different. I may not know how to label that difference, whether it's Christian or, you know, holy roller or whatever it is, but they're different. Amen. They're not like me. Because we're raised to be different. Set apart, preach it. Set apart. New creation. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. God created this. I love this. When we were sinners, our lives was chaotic and in disorder. Mine truly was. The Germans call it dunderhead or something, but it means a head full of thunder. Just chaos. That's what sin does. Just confusion. Man, I tell you, I'll never forget when I gave my life to when he raised me from the dead, first of all. And then I was enabled to believe in him. And I put my faith and trust in him as my Savior. The first thing that happened is between the ears got quiet. And you heard me say that, but I'm going to say it again. Out of chaos and disorder came order. Look at it, came a new creation, which God himself owned as his workmanship. And he can pronounce it very good, because God has recreated me. We are his workmanship in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:10. We're a new creation. So we're new, walking newness of life that fits with new creation, a new environment. Our condition has been altered. A new environment, it's not the same thing. And what happens there, the environment continues to be new, because you should move away from the friends and the atmosphere and the things that you used to, because you can't stand those anymore. Because you now have the chaos. Because you have a new creation, you have the spirit of the divine nature has now been imparted to you. So the things that used to be no problem are a major problem.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
At one time, when we were living in chaos, we were addicted to chaos. If things weren't chaotic, we there's something wrong. Everything going right, what? That's crazy. Let me go mess up something. just addicted to gambling. I remember that the line in the movie, it was Samuel Jackson and Ben Affleck, I forgot who it was, but changing lanes. And his ex-wife, he's trying to get back, but chaos followed. She didn't realize that my man Ben Affleck was kind of behind the scenes causing chaos to happen. But she just said, "You are addicted to chaos." She was so mad at her ex-husband. And that's what we were. Everything was chaos and disorder. Mm-hmm. And he came and moved us out of that environment.
Thank you, Lord.
My niece was at our house, and she's been in and out of our houses for 30 years. And she said, it's just so peaceful. She's been in probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 houses. And all of those houses has been peaceful.
Thank you, Lord.
Peaceful. 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 You don't fake that. You can't fake peace. Things can appear to be peaceful. Things can appear to be peaceful. But the absence of conflict doesn't mean that there's peace. It just means that nobody's at war at the moment. Not that there's real peace.
So true.
Because you can walk into a home and it can be, everything can look or appear calm, but in reality, you can sense an underlying tension. And you're thinking like, man, I can't wait to get out of this house. Because there is no peace in this home, although there's nobody out there shooting and killing right at the moment. That life we were once in, he took us out of that. I love this. He altered our environment.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. I think we read too fast and we don't meditate deeply enough on new creation, newness of life, new. He used the word new. Mm-hmm. It's different.
Never before.
And we were created by God. This new creation is perfectly crafted by God himself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very good, because everything God does is very good. And that's why I want to go over it again and not necessarily rush through it. And here's some words that are really crucial. When God saves, he doesn't just, you've been regenerated, a new birth, you've been converted and transformed. Can you see why it's newness of life? You are a new creation. Because that's what salvation, this is what happens. These are all synonyms of the same thing. That's why you should be so obviously different. Shouldn't be any wondering. I know that this person is a Christian or of God or different or a believer, whatever word they want to use. Because there's been a true transformation. And as a result there's a new creation, and this new person walks in a different way. Mm-hmm. We're walking differently. What does walk mean?
Life.
Yes, a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Thinking, speaking, and doing. It's different now. I don't think the way I used to think. I don't speak the way I used to speak.
Yeah.
I don't act the way I used to act. I don't put myself in environments that I used to in the past because I don't like them anymore. I just don't understand how can Christians, real genuine Christians, have friends who are unsaved. I don't understand that. I don't care how many years they've been around you. Because some would say, well, you know, it's been my homeboy, homegirl, ride or die for 478,000 years. And, I just can't, you shouldn't even need a command or nothing. Because if you are born again and you now possess the divine nature and they continue to possess Satan's nature, that's just going to be conflict just because of that alone. You should need a command to lead. You ought to want to be around that, to lead that environment. I'm not trying to be around that. Because they can't talk with you concerning the things of God. And they can't, and if you can't talk to them, because they can't understand it. So your whole environment, everything is different. You've been transformed. You've been converted. It's a new birth.
Amen.
First time we were born physically, the second time we were born spiritually. First time we were generated, and we were when we were born the first time, we had to be regenerated. The first time when we brought it to the earth, we came in a certain way, certain mindset, sin nature, then we were converted from that. We were transformed from that. Now we went over this. Now all of a sudden we will go back into the world. Now we're new creatures. New creation. New way of thinking, speaking, and doing. But we still got the same old world. Right? Mm-hmm. Nothing's changed as far as the world is concerned. Friends expect you to still come on over, holler at this, smoke that, smell that, sniff, boom, boom. And you're like, no, this is not. Nope, that's not. Nope, I don't. Things look a little different. I don't know what to do now. And sometimes there's confusion. Like, where do I go now? Because I all used to go to, you know, Pook and them house and Bud and all them, but I can't go there anymore. I used to, you know, meet you at the club because it's going down, but I can't do that anymore. So where do I go now? Everything seems so, and it should be, so strange, so foreign, so alien, so peculiar. And then comes a, man, you know what? I'm just passing through this. Then come that pilgrim attitude. I'm on my way through this to my heavenly home. Because a dislike for the world should increase. And a love for the things of God should also increase. He said should. And so we're back into it, and when we come back as aliens and strangers, we don't belong there anymore. Because we've been transformed. So the term alien again, those who don't belong to this world, who live alongside the house. We don't live in the house, we live alongside it. And strangers, with aliens and strangers, when we come from a foreign country to a city or land to reside there by the side of the natives, not with them, but just by the side. Again, you can't go out of the world. You can't get saved and go straight to heaven. Because if you're going to, he didn't save you just to pull, because he could have. And I've told you this before, the reason you get saved to stay here is to show his glory, what he's done in the earth. Yeah. And you go out and be a light to draw others as God uses your lifestyle to bring others to Christ. That's why we stay here. Other than that, he just wraps his own out. Then next, no, we're here to show the love of God, the power of God, the grace of God, the glory of God, for his glory, for his honor. Mm-hmm. Truly, it's not about us. But we're strangers right now, but we're here now. We got to, you know, we're strangers. We're sojourners and foreigners. And it ought to just shake our head. It ought to cause us to shake our head when we, you know, hear the things, cause like, man, that's terrible. Oh, that's, I don't know how they think like that. Boy, that's, I used to think like that. Or I used to agree with that. Or those sort of things. Because we were once that way. That's why we had to be transformed, converted. Because we once thought those things. But now we see clearly, like, whoa, that's terrible. And then at the same time, you must be merciful to those who are still thinking that way, who are still caught up in sin. Good. Be merciful and pray for God's grace in a mighty way to save them just as he saved you. Amen. My prayer for anyone, even if somebody is sick or whatever trouble they're going through, my first prayer is, Lord, save them if they're not saved. That's my first prayer. It's not about getting well. You can be well, get well, and then still a sinner on your way to hell. First, the most important, greatest thing you can ever pray for anybody on the face of this earth is that they be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Mm-hmm. And oh yeah, by the way, if you want to heal them, you can do that. But Lord, save them first. Yes, rather be a sick saint than a healed sinner. Yeah. Glory be to God. The old man. Who is the old man? Who we were before Christ. Who we were before we were saved. Who we were before we were saved. And so old describes something that is worn out and useless and fit to be put on the scrap heap, the pile, to be discarded. That does that not fit our old selves? The old person is gone away. Look at verse 6 of Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Romans 6 and 6. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with. Knowing this, that our old self, something that is worn out and useless. And the old man or the old self refers to the person we were before we were saved. We were totally depraved, unregenerated, or regenerate, lacking the life of God. And as a result, we were fit to be put on the scrap pile to be discarded because we were worn out and useless. Isn't that something that God, instead of doing what we deserved, chose to save us? If this description of the old self doesn't remove any goodness of our own that he saved us, even any thought of that, then I don't know what will. This is what we were worth here. Wages of sin is death, not eternal life. The wages of sin incurs the wrath of God. But instead we come to the throne of grace and find mercy to help in time of need. What a merciful, compassionate God. And he took that which was garbage, useless, and called us his own. Absolutely amazing. Look at Ephesians 4:22. Ephesians 4:22. Ephesians 4:22. It says to put off your old self, your old man, which belongs to your former manner of life. You see that? See, that belongs to your former manner of life, the way you used to live, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Put that dude off. Because that's what we've been delivered from. This old self, the old man with this former manner of life and corrupt through deceitful desires. Is that not useless and fit to be put on a scrap pile to be discarded because it is worn out and useless? Yes. Because in no way does that serve or honor God in any way, shape, or form. But realize this as we close here. Realize this. That whenever our flesh is pushing and demanding to rise to the top, to where we're ruled by it, realize you're resurrecting something that has already been crucified. Amen. If that makes sense. Amen. Realize that's what you're doing. He's been taken care of. But what we do is when he starts to scream, we start to listen. And it's a dangerous, you're headed for a dangerous zone when that flesh starts to rule things, because nothing good is going to come out of that. Why? Why? Look at, we're close, second closing. Look at Romans chapter 7, about verse 17, something like that. Romans chapter 7. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Yes, exactly. Romans 7:17. Verse 17, so now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Verse 18, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, comma, that is in my flesh. Nothing good dwells in my flesh. See that? Nothing good dwells, lives in, resides in, takes up residence in my flesh. So whenever your flesh tries to push itself into the ascendancy, remember we talked about it going up into the throne room and unmounting Jesus, dethroning Jesus from the throne of our hearts, and then it's enthroned its own self on the throne room of your heart, you are in trouble. But that's what happens. We allow flesh to come into the throne room of our heart and bump Jesus off the throne. And he sits down. And now flesh is king. And he says down in verse 12 of Romans 12, let not sin therefore reign as king in your mortal bodies. We must fight to keep our flesh where it needs to be, under our control. Buffet your body, beat it black and blue, subject it to harsh and rigid and stern discipline, and make it your slave, and you master your flesh. Do not let it reign as king over your mortal bodies. Father God, we really, I believe, want to do this as a group. I really do. We fail from time to time, but I like to think that the main objective in our heart is to please you and to keep this old man crucified, disabled, broken, powerless, as we yield ourselves to you, to the power of the Holy Spirit. Have your way, Lord God, in our lives. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.